Hey Pijuju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chambi, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook and all that.
Serious, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours! I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Chambi from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM,
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with David Chambi. Very happy to be here. Wherever you are finding yourself, we are greeting you from a number one favorite radio station in Namibia, that is Eagle FM. And yeah, it's 17th of November, 2025. We are moving progressively toward the end of the year. And like we're always saying, time wasted is an income lost and time wasted never come back. That's why what you need to focus on is that do not regret about the past, because there's nothing that you can do about it. You can only learn from it and look at the present. What is that you need to do today to make sure that the future, which is tomorrow, will be pleasant and also understandable? Some of you are at home. Some of you are, you know, on your way to work. Some of you are busy wrapping up the year toward December and also toward the end of 2025. And in any point in time in the history of humankind, 2025 will go down in history and it will never come back. The focus is on the future. The focus is on Vision 2030. The focus is on Agenda 2063. And the focus is, how are we going to deal with the new age of 2026? Are we not growing? Or we are growing. And what is very important is that understand that every day you are growing older, either with 8 hours, you are growing older, either with a day, and we are moving toward that very important year, particularly when it's coming toward our national development. So this is Business and Economic Segment with me, David Chambi, and this is the platform that we discuss business, we discuss economics, we look at things that put bread on the table, we look at the aspect of national development, international affairs, global relations, and also issues of trade. There's an ongoing, COP30. Where you'll be able to realize that, international institutions, particularly those who are representing migrations, indicated that, you know, government and leaders must be able to respect, especially those people that affected or the victim of climate change, either it's flood, either it's victims of drought, victims of famine, and also to apply cautiousness, particularly when they deal with those people. You can give an example of our golden kings, which are in cities and towns of Namibia, and ask yourself this question: how can somebody leave his mother's house, his mother's country, and try to find himself in a street of a neighboring country? Is that what the person planned? No. Is that what the person want? No. But is that the option which is there? That is the option. But this is also stated that there have been promises, particularly when it's coming to these international climate institutions, to say, when it comes to climate finance, those who are affected, the victims should be, you know, compensated and also be assisted by those finance, particularly when it's coming from developed nations and also international contributing organizations when it comes to assisting those who are impacted or those who are affected by, you know, climate. And yeah, looking at South Africa, President Cyril Ramaphosa told some of the NEC member, that is National Executive Committee, to say they should not speak behind his back, especially when it's coming to the aspect of when the president is going to resign, because, you know, there is an ongoing conversation in South African political corridors to say what are going to be the results of Commission of Inquiry, particularly the Mandlanga Commission and also the Parliament Ad Hoc Committee, which is looking at the infiltration of South Africa judicial system, and also looking at to what level is the judicial system and also the criminal justice system is infiltrated, where you'll be able also to see there is witnesses and also people who are appearing before the commission. You can also be able to see that the Minister of Police is on suspension. The deputy, the deputy national commission is on suspicion, and you see various, various senior leaders within South Africa judicial system, which are, you know, appearing before the ad hoc committee and Madlanga commission, such as the head of NPA, that is National Prosecution Authority, and many others. And the question is that when is Cyril Ramaphosa going to appear before the commission? Because there are predictions that he will be the last person to appear because he's the head before the commission, and also to see what are some of the levels of accountability that will happen in South Africa. It's very interesting, you know, system to look at, especially when you are a student of law, when you're a student of criminal justice, when you're a student of, even student of finance or international relations and the governance. You must be able also to see what are the models of government being used in South Africa, how should, issues of check and balance works, and how to tighten, strengthen, capacitate and empower the criminal justice system so that it can maintain and withstand the test of time. Because if you have the judiciary, for example, which is infiltrated, it's practically impossible to maintain a well-functioning state and also a state which is not collapsing. But the conversation for today, we are looking at the role of peace, stability, and unity in state development, the role of peace, stability, and unity in state development. And the conversation for today is looking at some of the pronunciation, particularly looking from that side of Tanzania, where the president of Tanzania, that is Samia Suluhu Hassan, indicated that the government of Tanzania is moving toward reconciliation and also establish an inquiry, particularly when it's coming to post-2019 October killings, where you'll be able to understand that there have been a lot of commotions, in Tanzania, particularly after 29 October elections, where you have seen the emergence of President Samia Suluhu as a winning candidate with over 97%, and it brought a lot of anger, particularly to the young people and also opposition leaders. Interestingly, at that point in time, during the protest, there have been predictions of over 1,000 people have been killed, but the number is not yet verified. That's why you'll be able to see party leaders Chama Pinduzi is a ruling party of Tanzania, party leaders of Chadema and CAT, they are also indicating that there have been a lot of killings, politically motivated killings, abductions, and also politically motivated arrest. You can also be able also to see that after elections, African Union Election Observer Mission, which is led by former president of Botswana Masisi, has indicated that the election in Tanzania was not in line with international standard, and also there have been a lot of violence, shooting of live bullets, and also some team members of African Union Election Observation Mission were not allowed to look and observe in some of the polling station toward the end of elections and to be there during the counting process. But what is very interesting is that after a lot of condemnations, and also we can also be able to see the reaction of some African leaders, to see how many of the African leaders have congratulated Samia Suluhu. I was looking at ours, and I'm asking myself, what happened? Looking at South Africa, I'm looking at other presidents to see how many have congratulated after that. Other than that, the president of Tanzania being a leader, I think that is one of the right moves, particularly reconciliation and also building of peace, because it's not correct. It cannot be right where Africa is only known to be a continent which cannot govern itself. Because when we speak about stability, when we speak about economic development, one of the challenges of Africa inability to develop economically, to advance its human development, to fight through this poverty, hunger, drought, unemployment, climate impact, and also criminality of the state. The reason of that is that is political instability, is violence, is division. And that division affects the business too, because people are in a country where they are cornered. Some are in various groups, and it's not right. But now we are speaking about what is the importance of reconciliation, and what are some of the practical lessons when it comes to reconciliation in Africa. We can give an example of Namibia. We can also give an example of South Africa. We can look at Angola and many other countries. And looking at reconciliation, looking at peace, why are investors attracted to do business in a state where there is peace? Why did Dangote, why he did not come to Zimbabwe during 2008? Why he did not come to Zimbabwe during 2018? Why he did not come to Zimbabwe in the early 2000? Why he come to Zimbabwe in 2025? Because of peace, stability, and investors' confidence. Peace, stability, and investors' confidence. Now, the president of Tanzania indicated to say they are coming up with an inquiry, and one assume that will be a commission of it's an independent commission of inquiry to say those who were killed during political a protest post elections, how many of these people were killed, because there is still no number. What is need to be done moving forward? But it's also very interesting, because when you say, when you have done something wrong, I do not support that. But when you understand and create that you have done something wrong, and you look at the future, you are the best leader than somebody who does not accept that he has done something wrong. But what is very interesting, that in the turning of things, Meme Samia Suluhu indicated to say, I understand what Chandema is saying. And at this point in time, we recommend that the country will start with constitutional reform. Because if you look at the 14-page preliminary report which was presented by African Union Observers Mission to Tanzania, stated that there is need to be constitutional reform, particularly when it's coming to electoral laws, to allow much independence and also fairness when it's coming to conducting of elections with international standard. Now, she stated that she understands, and the government of Tanzania will come to the point of reforming that constitution, particularly in the first 100 days of the office, which is quite a positive move. Now, peace, stability attract investment. Peace, stability attract business operators, attract trade partners. But what need to be done to be assured that there is peace and stability? Do you know that inequality, economic inequality, can cause peace to disappear? Economic inequality within the country can undermine peace and stability of the country, because a poor person, a beggar like you are begging, has no choice. A beggar has no choice. Easy to manipulate, has nothing to lose, and easy to follow anybody as long as they have an ideology and they have food on the table. Ask yourself this question. Why DRC, when you look, for example, at M23, they are well-armed, well-supported, well-trained than even the army of DRC? Why is it like that? Look at those who are fighting in the eastern DRC. These are the young people without opportunities, without any talent. And the question that you're asking yourself is that, how should the concept of peace and stability should not just be a concept that people are speaking about, but it's a concept that it should be used to allow business to thrive. Now, the question that you also need to ask yourself is that, on top of peace and stability, what else is needed? On top of peace and stability, what else is needed to allow the business to thrive and the economy to expand? Namibia had peace and stability since 1990. Was the business thriving? Yes, at some point. Is the economy thrived in terms of number? Yes, at some point. Is human development advanced? That is a question of debate. Is economic inequality, is the gap of economic inequality addressed? Not yet. Now, the question that we should ask ourselves is that on top of reconciliation, on top of agreeing that something was done wrong, then yes, let's move into the future as a united country. What else needs to be done to allow the business to thrive? We can debate about any other things, but one must be able to understand that the cost of doing business in Namibia is still expensive, although institutions are busy proposing to change that. The cost of doing business in Namibia is expensive. The regulations are so complicated and discouraging. That is why you find when you speak about an informal sector, you have almost 60% of people who are employed in the informal sector. Then the question you're asking yourself is that why do you think somebody decided to operate within the informal sector? What is that they are running away from? Because that is now where we have to bring a debate to say, on top of peace and stability, what else is needed for the country to operate effectively, and what else is needed when it comes to economy of that country to thrive? Now, we're looking at numbers to say Namibia has started in June exporting within African continent, a free trade area, by exporting tons of salt to Nigeria. And this week, if you read the Villager newspaper for today, you can be able to see and realize that when it comes to Namibia, Namibia is also, or Midco is also, planning to export hides within the African continent, a free trade area. Now, the question that you need to ask yourself is that when we are in the process of expanding our international trade route, how will conflict, civil unrest within the African countries, within the SADC regions, will be able, how will conflict will be able to hinder development? And maybe somebody must also be able to look at this context to say, where is the chairperson of SADC? What happened? What happened? The leader of SADC, after protests in Madagascar, overthrow of the government, and President Rogerine, even with the instrument of power in Southern Africa, decided to depart to other continent, not even in Africa. Why did he not look for refuge in the neighboring countries? Why did he go and seek for refuge in other part of the world? But the question is that how can we make sure that we don't only advocate for peace, but we practice maintaining of peace? Because fighting peace, or conflict resolution and finding peace, is one thing, but maintaining peace requires critical monitoring of the situation, critical also monitoring of the people's feelings. Not necessarily to say you must excite everybody. Not necessarily because you must make everybody to like you, but understand the mood of the country to say, what are the majority of the young people want? How should we maintain peace and stability in the country? Apart from good laws, are the people going to bed with food in Namibia? Are the people going to bed with food? Are the people have secure housing in Namibia? Do they have secure housing in Namibia? Do they have products?
Großartige Neuigkeiten. IMBA ist jetzt noch besser geworden. Wir haben ganz neue Funktionen hinzugefügt, um dein Erlebnis noch reibungsloser, schneller und leistungsstärker zu machen als je zuvor. Bereit, das volle Potenzial von IMBA freizuschalten? Erhalte alle exklusiven Funktionen für nur 36 Namibia-Dollar pro Monat. Oder spare noch mehr mit unserem speziellen Abonnement-Plan. 5% Rabatt bei einem 3-Monats-Abonnement, 10% Rabatt bei einem 6-Monats-Abonnement oder 25% Rabatt bei einem 12-Monats-Abonnement. Wähle den Plan, der am besten zu dir passt, und genieße alles, was IMBA zu bieten hat, zu einem unschlagbaren Preis. IMBA, where the world congregates. Lade es herunter und abonniere noch heute.
Do they have secure housing in Namibia? Do they have protections? Do they have medical care? What is the state of Namibia medical, facilities? What is the quality of medical care in Namibia? How many of Namibian professionals, Namibian top professionals and politicians, when they are not feeling well, are being operated, are being, given medical attention in Namibia? Going outside the country is not a problem, because if somebody goes out of the country for medical attention, it's not a problem. But it's saying something that we are still not at the point where those who are at the highest level can trust that a medical doctor in Namibia can be able to assist me, cure my disease, and allow me to maintain, a healthy body. But the question that you're asking yourself is that lack of this service, what does it mean to an ordinary Namibian, and what would a lack of access to scarcity of resources means to peace and also the economy? And what are some of the policies which need to be put in place to make sure that, especially public anger is a determinant of the situations of unsatisfactory. Is there a relationship without money? There's no money in the relationship, you'll be able to see changes in people's, ways of doing things. But that is the nature of life, to say, what is that you are lacking that make you angry, that impact the operation of business, and what is that need to be done? And looking at that context, what is that we need to learn from Tanzania that we should not repeat the same mistakes? And what is the necessity of choosing peace over the barrel of the gun? Because, like we're always saying, we cannot afford to continue fighting anymore. We cannot afford, as Africans, to continue with civil unrest. We have a bigger project ahead of us. Highest number of people who are dying because of malaria are in Africa. Highest number of people who are dying because of hunger are in Africa. Civil unrest is in Africa, has been not resting civil-wise since the independence of Africa. There is no year that you can point out without any conflict happening within Africa. Although countries to countries war has ended, but there is no year that you can point out since 1960s. If you can beat me in pointing out those data, I'll point you at Morocco and Western Sahara. There's still unsolved situation. That will be the point of argument, but there are others. DRC, Zimbabwe, Sudan, and South Sudan, Central Africa, Mali, Darfur, Madagascar, Mozambique, Angola here. Thank you to Botswana and Namibia. Thank you to Zambia. But what is that need to be done to make sure that, reconciliation, peace is number one, to make sure that when peace is maintained, business can continue thriving? Because a man by the name Arikon Dangote, who is a household name when it's coming to people who has money in Africa. Not only people who have money, but people who have money and also have good intention for Africa. Because what he's doing, I don't think is only for his name, but it's also for the future of Africa. When he decided to build a pipeline between Walvis Bay and Bulawayo, that is a big positive move. But you can ask yourself this question. Why do you think he chose Namibian port? Is Namibia the only country which has ports or seaports in Southern Africa? Is Namibia the only country? Why not choose South Africa? Why not Mozambique? Why not other countries? Because the business thrive where there is no noise, where there is no peace. Money thrive where there is no noise. So that is the reason they don't have music in a bank. But in a club they have music, because there is chaos there, you lose more money than you are saving. But that's just a point of expression. But what I'm trying to indicate is that when you see somebody, when you see industry come to build in Namibia, when you see foreign direct investment intelligence report indicating to you that Namibia is the first highest attractor of foreign direct investment in Africa in 2025 and the second in foreign direct investment, particularly in the green sector in 2025, it means that investors are not risk gamblers. Investors are not aid givers. Investors are not volunteers and good Samaritans. Investors are business people with interest in investing in a project where they also win. But they also do an assessment. They also do an assessment to say, for me to invest in this country, is there peace? What is the political stability of the country? What is the political structure? Is there a tribal, a war within this country? Is there ethnic conflict within that country? Is there ethnic conflict within that country? Is there unity among the people of that country? And how do they deal with conflict? And the good thing about Namibians, we can burn each other online and we can roast each other. But at the end of the day, we find the common ground. That is a credit that we should not take away from. But we need to continue with that credit to say, Namibia has peace and stability. How should we maintain it? You can maintain peace and stability by make sure that you take care of the people's need. You take care of the people's need without, compromising the law. Take care of the people's need. Because if you sort out the basics, it's going to be very difficult for Namibia to go from peace to an unkind society. And what Mme Samia Suluhu is trying to teach us, and also what we should learn, is that you cannot lead an angry nation. Because that thing has been seen, you cannot lead people that are not happy with you. And business is not thriving in anger. Because business is not thriving in anger. And you cannot leave and lead a country without accountability. That is why she said there must be a commission of inquiry. And I would be very interested to see what will be the outcome of that inquiry. Who are the figures going to be pointing into? And what will be some of the recommendation? And if these recommendations are going to be implemented. But for those who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is Business and Economic Segment. This is Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe, and today we are looking at the importance of peace, stability, and reconciliation in the development of Africa. What is that need to be done to make sure that when it comes to African development, when it's coming to issues of, economic development and most importantly, human development, what is that need to be done? How should African economy divided equally, African economy shared equally? And also for the basic need to be addressed. It's undeniable that in any point in time, economy is defined by the scarcity of resources. At any point in time, somebody will have more than the other. But that zone should not be operational on the ground that there is individuals who are failing to get the basics, because the basic must be sorted out first. The competition must operate at a certain level. But looking at the state of countries in Africa, there is a lot of things that need to be done, especially to make sure that you attract investors' confidence. Because if investors are not trusting you, even domestic investors, because it's not only about foreign direct investors, even domestic investors, if the investors are not able to trust you, investors are not gamblers. That's why the issue for peace. And also, most importantly also, apart from peace and maintaining of peace, is the issue of financial system. I'm very much interested in the financial system of Namibia. And I'm always watching, especially when banks, central bank, is defining the Namibian economy, is defining the role and the ability of the bank to maintain and also balance Namibian economy, and also to protect Namibia from economic meltdown. And there are always statements such as the financial system of Namibia is still sound, strong, resilient, and can maintain or withstand pressure, internal or external. Those are some of the underlying statements that are always being given by, you know, central bank executives. But my question has always been to say, if that is the case, where do you put things that you don't talk about? Where do you put things that you do not have control over, such as cybersecurity? Because cybercrime is still a threat. Grey listing is still existing. The country is still grey listed by Financial Action Task Force. Country is still put at high risk jurisdiction by European Union Commission. And that is a problem. That is a problem to Namibian economy. That is a problem to domestic and external investor. That is also a problem to infiltration of the system, because even the criminals themselves, the syndicates themselves, they find it easier to operate in the zone that, you know, is not protected, in the zone that is not, is weak. That's why we need to upgrade our game in that sector, especially when it comes to issues of strengthening of Namibia financial system. So we are looking at peace and economy. We are looking at the business cannot thrive in war. The business cannot thrive in ethnic division, and business cannot thrive in the country where people are not speaking to each other. And business cannot thrive in a country where young people's needs are not addressed, because that is the working force, the supposed working force that is energetic. So we continue the conversation. We continue with the conversation. Yeah, we are continuing with business and economic segment. Today, we are looking at the importance of peace, maintaining of peace in national economic development. We are also looking at the context of Tanzania, where you see the government waiting to bring, you know, opposition party on the table, and also to discuss what need to be done, especially when it comes to continuation of peace and also development in Tanzania, because it's not correct. It can't be good for countries to continue fighting, and also for people to focus on fighting instead of fighting hunger, fighting poverty, and fighting of you know, economic inequality. There is one context that we need to put out there, especially when you look at development on the ground of, you know, richness in terms of natural resources. It has been noted that most of the African countries, particularly those ones which have wealthy in terms of their natural resources, they find it very difficult, especially to transcend or to transform from raw material exporting countries to countries which are exporting final products, because of the external interests and also international investors who are willing to exploit that opportunity to make sure that, you know, they only use that opportunity, you know, for their own advantage, because that is one of the things which have kept African countries behind. And it's also one of the things which has contributed to the conflict in African states, because when you look, for example, the countries such as South Sudan, a country with more than four vice presidents, and political unrest has been the order of the day. Particularly when you look at post-South Sudan independence, where there is an estimation to say around 500,000 people died through those conflict between South Sudan independence in 2011 and also the current point in time. One of the center of conflict in that aspect is...
Do you have kids preparing for the year-end exams? Spoil them with these treats at special prices from USAVE. Four 100-gram Clover Family Snacks strawberry flavor, just $14.99 Namibian dollars. 1 liter Sensation Dairy Fruit Mix, just $18.99 Namibian dollars. 500 grams of Yummy Poloni, just $26.99 Namibian dollars. Nestle Kit Kat Chocolates, just $10.99 Namibian cents. And 1.8 liter Farmhouse Ice Cream, only $46.99 Namibian dollars. USAVE, your low budget grocery store where good food costs less.
In time, one of the center of conflict in that aspect is the wealth of oil. It's the wealth of oil, because those rich African countries who has wealth in terms of resources and oil. It's also where other countries get an opportunities, or where other international businesses and corporations, particularly those who are not ethical, use opportunity to fund, you know, militia, and also to fund mercenaries to take control of those energy wealth regions. That's why it's always important to understand that when there is a conflict somewhere where people are fighting, either is at home, either is at the profession, either is at the political level, ask yourself this question to say, who is benefiting from that fight? Who is benefiting from that fight? To whose interest are the people fighting? And if you ask yourself a very critical question, why people are the same standard? We are all poor, for example, but we are fighting politically instead of fighting in terms of what need to be done. We are divided and we are fighting politically, although everybody is given an opportunity to elect anyone that they want. But you find it also, it's also embarrassing. You find Namibians, they are not agreeing on basic issues such as there is need to address economic inequality. There is need to address inadequate housing. There is need to address medical care. There is need for social safety net. There is a need to combat urbanization, which led to congestion of houses and also criminality in terms of criminal activities which is happening in the informal sector, for example. Who is benefiting from the disagreement of the poor people within a certain country? Is that good for business? Who is benefiting from the fights from the poor people? Is that good for business? That's why today we are saying, for us to maintain reconciliation, we must be able to understand conflict. For us to maintain pure business operation, we must read the case studies of failed businesses. We must read the case study of failed states. Because if you read the case studies of failed state, it's easier for you to avoid the avoidables. It's easier for you to avoid the avoidables. And it's also easier for you to work with somebody that you did not agree with politically, somebody that you did not agree with religiously, somebody that you did not agree with ideologically. Because the moment you come to the point of understanding that in cooperation is more power than confrontation, then is the moment we are going to be on the same page that, and we are focusing on how we can build Namibia. It's not going to be the question of who. It's going to be the question of what can I do to make sure that everything thrives. So I'm bringing this conversation because where Tanzania is right now in terms of reconciliation, Namibia was there in 1990. Particularly when the policy of reconciliation was placed on the table to say, guys, we fought each other for almost three decades. We killed each other's relatives, and now is the time to build Namibia. Let us look at the policy of reconciliation, because that is the only way that we are going to build the Namibia that we want. And that is a reconciliation at a strategic level, but reconciliation can also happen at a lower level, to say, how many times you come to the point of saying, no, we did not agree for maybe 2 years, or we shared various different views, we even come to the point of insulting each other, but for the sake of progress, let us find a ground that we are working together. You know, I was watching one video, and somebody sent me a meme of the current leader of Syria, who at one point was the leader of Al-Qaeda, and also the former director of CIA, sitting together in a hall. Then somebody also posted to say, you know, beforehand, this is how boys behave when after they wanted to kill each other. But the point I'm trying to make here is that previous enemies, or people that you did not agree with for quite some time can also be people that you can work with, either in business, either in politics, because there is a saying of not having permanent enemies. And the moment you understand that there is no permanent enemies, it's only the conflict that caused by permanent interest. Because when interests shift, when interests align, you must be ready to work together with those that you do not like, or those that you thought you would not work together with. A good example, you can learn it from politicians. Politicians, they can be wrong in other things. They can give you empty promises. But one thing that you can learn from them is the issue of interest. When there is a common agenda, you find them realigning. Watch what's happening now in South Africa. ANC, NEC meetings where groups are realigning themselves. People are choosing who is going to be the future. They are looking at the future of South African presidency, particularly in the lens of ANC. But that example is also putting in the context that those who did not work together during Cyril Ramaphosa's administration and, you know, Zuma's administration or Begi administration, they even end up mixing because they are looking at the future. What is the future of ANC after Cyril Ramaphosa? That is a good example which is indicating to you that it's always imperative, it's always important to understand that working together in politics, in business, in social lives, at a personal level, and maintaining of peace can be good for business and also can be good for national growth. Now, one may be able to ask the question, why Namibia has been peaceful for quite 35 years, which is something that should not be taken for granted. But there is still more which need to be done, particularly when it's coming to challenges, either challenges of doing business, either challenges of thriving at an individual level, particularly with the right education that was presented. Why is it so difficult for that? What is that that need to be done to make sure that these two things, they come together and, you know, we get the Namibia that you want? Because these are the questions that we should continue asking ourselves to say, if now we have peace and stability, what else need to be done to supplement peace and stability, to make sure that those who are active, who has energy, those who have, you know, who are youthful, because you know that majority of the youthful generation in Namibia is not active when it's coming to labor force. Majority of the youthful generation in Namibia who are supposed to innovate, to think, they don't have a platform. We're supposed to ask difficult questions. Majority of the economists who may be proposing better theories of operation, who may be having better monitoring and evaluation mechanism that can assist Namibia to implement NDP-6 and other national beautiful plans, are not given opportunity because opportunities are not there. The question is, how should we create opportunities from both sides, at an individual level and also from institutional levels? Because those are the questions that we need to ask ourselves, because to say, in the presence of peace and stability, what other things that need to be done? What other things that need to be done to make sure that the Namibian people, they practically apply their knowledge, they upskill themselves, then they become assets, especially when it's coming to national development, when it's coming to embarking on real projects, and when it's coming to production of, you know, Namibian products, from food security to real materials. What need to be done? What is the danger? Where is the danger when it comes to continuation of importing toothpicks, for example? Why should Namibia continue importing toothpicks from outside the country? What is the danger of that? What does it do to our thinking? Is it really that we cannot do them, or there is something that's holding us? Why should Namibia continue importing water? Is water, like still water from abroad? Why can't we make our own toilets? All of them. Why can't we make our own paper just at that level? Where are the innovators in a peaceful Namibia. And how embarrassing is going to be if we are not able to use this opportunity, especially how things are now, where we maintain peace and we maintain stability. I remember the late Dr. Genkop Meyso, rest in peace. He likes saying, nobody can eat peace. People want economic development, and people want also food on the table. Nobody can eat peace. But what can we do at our best when we are presented or we have been under the roof of peace and stability? And one thing that, and I wish Namibians we can also learn and do very well is, you know, the battle that we put so much effort on is a political battle. The battle that the Namibians put much effort is a political battle. And that is showing, I do not know. Everybody go to the political level. But the main battle that is unsolved, which is an economic battle, which is it's a battle of human development, it's a battle that people, they are not going to sacrifice themselves to. It's a battle that nobody wants to enter into. Because when you look at during elections, most of Namibians will see each other, or some of the Namibians, from their perspective, they see each other as enemies, fierce people. They go to the point of fighting to say, party A, party B, we are here. But after elections, there is no battle on reviving policies, either at the local level, citizens that were at the forefront of this rally. Just look at the post-26 November, look at them, they disappear. But you're asking yourself this question to say, why can't we be resilient as we are at the political front, as they were at the military front? Why can't we do that at the economic front, which is the main battle that every African is fighting? It's the main battle that every African state is fighting. Many African states are in debt. Many African states are focusing more on servicing their debts instead of developing their countries. Many African states are not building industries. They are continuing selling raw materials. Many African countries, they own less than 5% or less than 10%, to put it in perspective, particularly in their own mineral resources. Many African countries, they are beaten on a negotiation ground, particularly regarding the minerals which is in their houses. Many African countries are scared of making sound, long-term, practical economic decisions, especially when it comes to their national development. Many African countries, they fight the battles which are not theirs. They are more focused on what is the position regarding war in a certain country that they do not have influence over, which at some point is also important when it's coming to international affairs, instead of focusing on the interests of their people. You know, some African countries, democracy is on the paper. It's not on the ground. It's not seen on the ground. So that's why the question that you are asking today, and that everybody should ask, to say, what are the best moments that we can do, especially during peace, during stability, during this point in time? What is the best thing that African Namibians can do to make sure that they thrive in terms of their economy, to make sure that the business is operated at the productive level, to make sure that we think outside the box and not only think short term. A short term thinker is somebody who is looking at the material, what should I obtain by Friday, by end of the year, but is not looking at the generation. What can we do to plant a tree that we do not know that we are going to use its shelter? The reason most of the projects are not successful is because people want to eat during their time. People are not willing to. They are seasonal farmers. in a practical term when you are comparing with their national developmental strategies. They are seasonal because they want within their season to eat those fruits. They do not want to be as they said they were going to be, especially when they say public service, we are servant of the people. They don't want to do that. But the question has always been to say, where are we going? At what pace? And the question should not stop to say, if Namibia was a bus moving toward the destination called Vision 2030, at what rate is that bus moving? Are we in a common understanding with the driver of the bus that is moving Namibia toward the destination called Vision 2030? And what level do we have a cut to fuel our bus, or we are operating beyond or below the empty indicator? And the other thing that is also very interesting that everybody should ask is that what mechanic have we appointed to make sure that he is servicing the bus of Namibia that is moving toward the destination of Vision 2030? Now, that mechanic, did we appoint the right mechanic to fix and evaluate the bus, the quality, the speed, and everything that is there to make sure that we are going to reach the Vision 2030? What is the name of that mechanic? That mechanic is monitoring and evaluation. And monitoring evaluation in this context is the aspect of us Namibians looking at what tools are we using? What tools of analysis are we using to evaluate what we say, what we put on the paper, and what we put on the ground? The moment we have a right mechanic, and that right mechanic is a monitoring and evaluation tool, then there is no way that we are going to fail, especially in reaching our national priorities. They say there is no bigger ambitions. There is no over-ambitious plan. It only depends on who are those who are entrusted with capacity and technical knowledge on implementing those good plans. So, dear listeners, I'm going to leave.